Heavenly Father and our God, we thank you once again for who you are, for all that you have done and all that you're doing even now. We thank you for this day. It's a day that you have made and a day that we will rejoice and be glad in it. As we embark on today's study, I pray your Holy Spirit will teach us all things. And I just believe by faith that everyone will be forever changed for the better, having a better understanding of your word and ultimately a closer walk with you. So be glorified now, Father, as we look to you for all things. And it's in Jesus' mighty name we ask and pray. And all of God's people say, amen and amen. And I prayed and asked the Lord, what are we talking about today? And he gave me something dealing with this topic here. So our topic for today is, let us start with the heart of the matter. Let us start with the heart of the matter. Getting down to the real nitty gritty. Let us start with the heart of the matter. That's our topic for today. Let us start with the heart of the matter. You see, even as an adult, I still remember growing up. Upon, what am I growing upon? I'm growing upon my mother's cooking and my grandmother's cooking. I was fortunate enough to experience food that had a lot of love poured into it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? When before you even taste it, just the smell, you're already in love. You're like, there's some love in this food. You see, whenever we do something, let's do it with love as unto the Lord. Now, I have to stress with love as unto the Lord because we sure do some hurtful things to the Lord. But we want to do things that are loving as unto the Lord. Because God pour out love to us. And we're supposed to reciprocate and pour love out to our fellow man. But I want to share this with you regarding as unto the Lord. Because we're going to be called upon to do many things. So the first place I'm going to run to is Colossians chapter 3. And I want to point something out to you that is very interesting. Colossians chapter 3. And I'm going to jump down to verse 22. Colossians 3, 22. It says this, slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything you do. Try to please them all the time. So who's your earthly master? The people you work for? Yeah, you can do that. The people you serve in your household, your family? Try to please them all the time, not just when they are watching you. Serve them sincerely, because of your reverent fear of the Lord. And here's the clincher. Work willingly at whatever you do as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward and that the master you are serving is Christ. But if you do what is wrong, you will be paid back for the wrong you have done. For God has no favorites. So we have to examine the heart of this situation here. Are we putting our hearts into what we're doing? Or we're just self-serving? If you're self-serving, you're not going to get very far with God. Some people are wondering why they can't go to the next level. Why they keep hanging out with the devil. It's because you are self-serving. It's all about you. That's why you spend so much time looking in the mirror. Oh, I got to fix this eyebrow. Oh, I got to shave this. Man, my nose here grew a half an inch. I got to cut it. Whatever it may be. All right? And you're just about you. I'm not saying you shouldn't look good. But if you're spending more time trying to look good rather than trying to look like God, that's a problem. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 17. Let's break this down because we're going to get to the heart of the matter today. Jeremiah chapter 17. This is one of those areas of scripture that people don't like me to read. Let's start in verse 1. The sin of Judah is inscribed with an iron chisel, engraved with a diamond point on their stony hearts and on the corners of their altars. This is Judah now, all right? Even their children go to worship at their pagan altars and Asherah poles, beneath every green tree and on every high hill. So I will hand over my holy mountain along with all your wealth and treasures and your pagan shrines as plunder to your enemies. For sin runs rampant in your land. The wonderful possession I have reserved for you will slip from your hands. I will tell your enemies to take you as captives to a foreign land. For my anger blazes like a fire that will burn forever. You see, when people are not loving God the right way, God allows what is dear to them to be taken away. Don't miss this. I want us to all do some self-analysis today and see, what are we truly in love with? Who are we truly in love with? Because some people, they're in love with themselves, but they're not in love with God. Some people, they're in love with their money, but they're not in love with God. For some, they're in love with their status quo, but they're not in love with God. And that's the issue. We need to get to the heart of the matter. As a matter of fact, key point number one, write this down. Don't allow your heart to fall in love with mankind more than God. Because if you do, you can expect a rod. Don't allow your heart to fall in love with mankind more than God. Because if you do, you can expect a rod. Expect a rod? Yeah, you can expect a spanking. You can definitely expect a spanking if you do that. And God will send spanking in various ways. It's not what some people want to hear. No one looks forward to a spanking. Unless it's some freaky business, but, you know. But most people don't look forward to a spanking because it hurts. But that's what will happen if we don't love God the right way. He will allow the enemy to beat upon us. Some people, they love their boyfriend more than they love God. They love their girlfriend more than they love God. Husband more, wife more, children, cute little baby, ooh, coochie coochie little baby. Even when they puke on you, they still love them more than you love God. Some people, they love the president more than they love God. I'm telling you, some love Trump, some love Biden, but tell them about Jesus, and some will start fighting. They won't fight for Jesus. But you mention Jesus to them, it's on. It's a war going on. Oh, dare you try and cramp your religion down my throat. But tell them about Trump. Oh, yeah. Tell them about Biden. Yeah. And then they go at it against each other. Oh, I can't stand this. I hate that person. I'm like, listen to you. I have a lady that I saw, and it was so crazy. I said, this lady's done lost her mind. And she's an older lady. She's got to be maybe, she's not old, but she's got to be 70, you know. So she's not old, but she's older than, you know, 20-something. She's not a spring chicken. And the lady told me she stopped talking to her sister because her sister voted for Trump. I said, you stopped talking to your sister? Are you related to the other party? No, but how dare she vote for Trump? I said, so what did Trump do to you? Oh, I just don't like him. Okay. And I talked to people that voted for Biden, and I said, okay, what did Trump do to you? Nothing. People that don't like Biden, that's what Biden do to you. Or I just don't like him. So for some reason, when it comes to politics, people throw love out the window. You can say you love God. Oh, but I hate that politician. That's a problem. Here's another clincher. Do you know that you're supposed to pray for people in authority? For all the people watching that support Trump, have you prayed for Biden? Oh, Pastor, don't say blasphemy. Really? Here's another one. Can you find it in your heart to love him? The heart of the matter. I'm trying to let you know, not trying, I'm letting you know that love needs to be the foundation of who we are. Amen. Because if we don't show love to mankind, we definitely ain't showing love to God. Because Jesus says in Matthew 25, as much as we do unto the least of these, you're doing it unto me. You're wondering why you can't soar high on eagle's wings? Bury the hate. Get it out of your system. Can't be telling people you love them and then you're just hating on that person over there. And then turn around and you just love your own selfish circle more than you love God by us, just me and my husband, me and my wife, me and my children, or me and my, you know, situation. I've got my status, I'm good. I've got money in the bank, I'm good. I'm cool. But everybody else can go to hell. If that's your attitude, you do not love God. And you're thinking you're going to heaven. There's a lot of people that's going to wake up on the wrong side of the fence and realize they're not in heaven. Because their heart was not checked. It was not cleansed. They're still wrapped up in themselves. Not good. Let's get some things right. Let's go back to Jeremiah 17. See what God has to say here. When we flip the script and we start doing what we're supposed to do. Jeremiah 17, down verse 5. This is what the Lord says. Cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans, right? Who rely on human strength and turn their hearts away from the Lord. They're like stunted shrubs in the desert with no hope for the future. They will live in barren wilderness in an uninhabited salty land. So if you don't want to trust God, you're going to live in an uninhabited salty land. That don't sound too good at all. But let me hear somebody say, but. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord. Let me hear somebody say, that's me. And have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. I love it. That's where our goal should be. To be like trees planted by the riverbank. How do we get there? When we love the Lord and make His will a priority over ours. Key point number two, write this down. When we love the Lord and trust Him with all our hearts, we have the victory no matter what Satan starts. When we love the Lord and trust Him, oh hallelujah Jesus, with all our hearts, we got to love Him and trust Him with all our hearts, not just with lip service. So I love you Lord, I trust you Lord. No, put your heart into it. We're dealing with the heart of the matter right now. We have the victory, no matter what Satan starts. And believe me, Satan is good at starting up trouble. He started up trouble with me yesterday, this morning. But we have the victory. Amen. And I was talking to Deacon Steve. The devil was trying them big time yesterday. Pastor Mike, same thing. I'm sure everyone can relate on how the devil has been trying to steal our joy. But we don't give him the victory. No, we have the victory. Ooh, through Christ Jesus. Amen. Through Christ Jesus. So I'm not going to worry about it, please. The devil is under my feet. And I wear a size 12, so it hurts. I ain't afraid to step on his head. You got to rebuke that demon. And let him know he's a clown. Don't follow what he's telling you to do. No, do what God is telling us to do. Amen. Love God, love people. Even when they do you wrong, you still show them love and be the bigger individual? Exactly. That way you know you're ready for heaven. Before you can bring your offering, even offering yourself or your time to God, you're supposed to find the person you wronged and make amends and say, you know what? I'm sorry. Forgive me. Even if you didn't intend on wronging them, even if you feel you're innocent, and you know, you can still go to the person and say, look, I'm sorry I offended you. My bad. I'm sorry. All is forgiven. Please forgive me. If they say, I'm not going to forgive you, you can go to hell. You can say, well, I'm not going to hell, but at least I cleared the air. God bless you. And you don't tell them, no, you go to hell, and then just let them start you up. No, because one fool makes many. But all it takes for something to turn is for one person to be godly. If the other party don't want to do it, that's their business. We're not responsible for anyone's eternal damnation. We are responsible for our eternal salvation. Amen. I'll say it again. If you keep trying to change people, may or may not happen. But you can change yourself with God. Amen. You can make a decision. Say, you know what? I'm not going to curse people out no more. I'm not going to lie no more. I'm not going to steal no more. I am not going to be used by the devil no more. I am a child of the Most High God, and I'm going to walk in that office. We have to choose that. We have to choose that. Every day we get up, we got to put on our Jesus clothes and be a Christian. They got choices now. You can put on your Satan clothes and be a demon. You got to choose. What are you going to adorn yourself with? The spirit of Christ or the spirit of Satan? Well, let me tell you something. In John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus told us plainly that the thief's purpose is to kill, steal, and destroy. Now, if you want him to destroy your dreams, all your aspirations, your goals, if you want him to steal, you know, the family, friends, loved ones, whosoever that is dear to you, if you want him to steal your finances, if you want him to steal your health, if you want him to steal all these things that's valuable to you, you keep taking counsel from him. But Jesus says, I come to give you life more abundantly. I'll take the abundant life. Anybody with me? The abundant life sounds good to me. Don't let that devil fool you no more. He's in the fooling business. We got the victory though, no matter what he tries. Amen. See, there is no fear of his rod when we draw close to God. When we're near God, we don't have to worry about his rod. The rod will actually comfort us, knowing that it's there to beat the enemy. You see that? Let me show you. Go to Psalm 23. We'll come back to Jeremiah. Go to Psalm 23. I remind you guys sometimes about some stuff. You guys know this, but let's go there real quick. Look at what David says. Verse 4. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you're close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. Are you serious? Do you know that in a Jewish, not just a Jewish, but in the cultures that have a lot of sheep herding, you have a shepherd and a staff. Now the shepherd's staff has a little hook on it. So when the sheep is strained, they use the hook to pull the sheep back in line. But sometimes the sheep is like, let me go. I don't want to go over here. Leave me alone. You know, don't you see Billy over there? I'm going to hang out with Billy. So, you know, you realize the hook is not working. So then they turn it around and use the rod and slap the sheep on the butt. And the sheep are like, oh, you mean business? Okay, okay. You're the boss. And the sheep gets in line. But if we're in line, we don't have to worry about the rod from God hitting us on the behind. We know that we're fine. Just like if you're not doing crimes and you pull up beside a police officer, you don't get nervous. You're like, hey, praise the Lord, officer, how are you doing? Be safe out there. But if you're doing something wrong, you're like, oh, man, I hope you don't recognize me. Let me hurry up and... That's how it is. How do I know? Been there and done that. You don't need to fear God if you're living near God. I like that. You don't need to fear God if you're living near God. The people who are living in fear are the ones who are doing a whole bunch of foolishness. It's time to stop. Look out for you by getting closer to God. The heart of the matter, what is it that is so important that you choose to gravitate to that more than God's will for your life? You got to ask yourself some deep questions. Now we're going to go to a very powerful statement from the prophet Jeremiah in verse 9 as the Spirit of God instructed him to write. Jeremiah 17 and 9, this is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Because I hear a lot of people tell me, oh, God is in my heart. I don't go to church. I don't read the Bible. I got God in my heart. Yeah, but which God? Remember, Satan is the God of this world. So if you got Satan in your heart, he's not really lying, but you're a fool. This is what the Spirit of God inspired Jeremiah to write. The human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? Are you serious? The most deceitful of all things? Yes, because so many people harbor unforgiveness in their heart. Someone wronged you. You don't even know that they wronged you, right? And or they may not know, rather, that they wronged you, but yet still you want to hold them up in your heart. Oh, you know, I'm not going to be nice to this person. I'm not going to talk to that person. They see him coming that way, they're like, oh, let me hurry up and go over here. What happened to love? What happened to being an instrument of righteousness? So many people are in the church, but they are not the church that Jesus is coming back for. A church that's without a spot or a wrinkle. A church that loves unconditionally. A church that says yes to righteousness and no to wrongousness. That's one of Pastor Trevor's made up words, but you know what it means. Don't do it. It's time for us to take things up a notch. You can't just figure, okay, you know, yeah, I got God in my heart. No. Are you really seeking the true and living God? I can't help but imagine how the devil will create so many obstacles in our lives to keep us away from God. When I see Satan at his drawing board and he's saying, okay, if I put this in that person's life, they won't read their Bible more. If I put this in their life, they won't pray like they should. If I put this in their life, their friends will influence them to spend more time chit-chatting on the phone. If I put this in there, and the devil sit down and he mops out all that he can do to keep us away from God. And he makes us even think that we're okay with God when we're not serving him wholeheartedly. The problem God have with that is he's a jealous God. And he takes backseat or secondary to no one. That's why I tell you in Matthew 6:33 to seek first the kingdom of God. And some of his righteousness. All of his righteousness. And then everything else will be added. And this is what we're supposed to do on a daily basis. Salvation is free. Walking with the Lord will cost us something. Sometimes it will cost us some dear friends. It will cost us some family members. I'm telling you like it is. Jesus didn't come to bring peace. He came to bring a division between those who are with him and those who are not. What's the heart of the matter? It all comes down to who we love more. Back in the day, growing up, we used to sing that song, "Raise Your Hand to the One You Love the Best." Remember that song? We used to sing it in school in Jamaica back in the day. Oh, yeah. Do we really love God the best? Some people may. But there's a lot of people fooling around, playing games. We gotta get to the next level. We can't just be playing games. I want to teach a group of people that are serious about going to heaven. So let's do a quick check. Anybody in here want to make it to heaven? Okay. Very good. If your hand is down, I don't know. I have to keep you in prayer. Wake you up or something. But my friends, this heaven-bound train comes with some restrictions, comes with some cautions, but comes with a whole lot of benefits. A whole lot of benefits. One of the biggest benefits is that we will always have everything we need. That is good for me. I need to know that the needs will be supplied. And that's a promise. It's not a maybe. The God we serve owns cattle on 1,000 hills. So that takes away worry about my provisions that I need to live. He will always supply that once I do what I'm supposed to do and you do what you're supposed to. He will always supply your needs. He promised to give us peace that surpasses all understanding. And if you don't have peace in your heart, your life is going to be living in pieces. You're going to be miserable. You're going to be stressed out. You're going to be worried. Oh, this is not going to... And you're going to be all over the place. Like a puzzle. Trying to put the pieces together. No. You don't have to worry about that once you're truly living for God. Another thing he promised to give us. The hope of glory. That means when we leave this earth, we're going to be with him. In a glorified state. Hallelujah, Jesus. I'm looking forward to heaven. Streets of gold. We won't be wearing gold in heaven because that's asphalt. The streets are going to be made with gold. We're going to be walking around. You're going to see your shiny head like me and Brother David and, you know, Deacon and Pastor Matt. We're going to see our heads in the street. Glistening. Glory be to God. Mr. Wallace may say, I don't even want no hair. I want to see my head right there. To God be the glory. So, when we look at all these promises, it motivates us to serve the true and living God. Yes, the heart can remain wicked, but it's beneficial if we get rid of the wickedness and gravitate to God's righteousness, his love, his forgiveness. One of the biggest things that we do to prove to God that we love him is when we forgive someone who sinned against us. Why? Because if we can't forgive someone who sinned against us, our Father in heaven will not forgive us of our sins. It is not a difficult thing, but you got to choose to do it. And the more we practice forgiveness and love and mercy, the easier it gets. The easier it gets. Just like when you're first learning to tie your shoe. You may have a few weird looking knots at first, but the more you practice it, the better you get at it. Same thing. With walking, driving a car, riding a bike, you practice. And then you get better at it. Same is true with forgiveness. And the Spirit of God is going somewhere with this. Because verse 10 in Jeremiah 17 says, "But I, the Lord, search all hearts and examine secret motives. I give all people their due rewards according to what their actions deserve." Oh, man. Key point number 3. Write this down. You ready for this? If your heart is ugly, here's what you do. Allow Jesus to do reconstructive heart surgery. Hallelujah, Jesus. There's hope for you if your heart is ugly. You may be watching us on television right now and you're thinking, "Man, Pastor, you're making me feel bad." Well, don't stay in the negative. If your heart is ugly, if you're quick to go off on people, quick to blast people, quick to lie, quick to steal, quick to kill, quick to whatever it is that you entertain in your heart, and you know your heart is ugly, allow Jesus to do some reconstructive heart surgery. He can cut the blemishes out. He can renew you. He can give you a new walk, a new talk, a new way of thinking. You will be renewed by your mindset being changed. He can do it for you. I just want to encourage you today. You don't have to stay on a pathway that's leading you to destruction and hell. Get off that path. And it's easy. Romans 10:9-10 says, "Look here, man. You believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and he died for you." So listen, let's confess. Accept him. Because when you open your mouth and you confess him, oh, you'll be getting your salvation. It's not that difficult. But you got to want it. If your heart is ugly, examples of an ugly heart, again, unforgiveness, malice, lying, thieving, cursing, sexual misconduct, etc. You know. So let us examine the things we say and do on a daily basis. We got to examine ourselves. The thing is, if we judge ourselves, then we won't come into judgment in a negative way. But if we don't judge ourselves, we come into judgment, God's going to be like, "You ain't ready for heaven, my friend. Sorry. Can't come in." I don't want no one to hear that. Anybody know that they're too good looking for hell? Put your hand up. Amen. Hallelujah. We're too good looking for hell. If you think some people on the street look a mess now, you wait till you see the people down there. Ain't going to be nothing pretty going on down there. Talking about bad hair day, it's going to be a bad everything day down there. People like me never have a bad ear day. Hallelujah, Jesus. Had a shiny ear day. All right. So, let's look at what Jesus has to say again. Because our mouth, what comes out of our mouth, is sometimes so toxic and incriminating that it messes up a lot of stuff. So I want to point this out real quick. Matthew 12:33. A tree is identified by its fruit. If a tree is good, its fruit will be good. If a tree is bad, though, its fruit will be bad. This is Jesus speaking now. He says, "You brood of snakes, how could evil men like you speak what is good and right? For whatever is in your heart, whether or not you think it's good or bad, whatever is in your heart determines what you say. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart. And an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. And I tell you this. Are you ready? Yes. I wish I had a drum roll, but it's okay. And I tell you this. Tambourine roll. There we go. You must give an account on judgment day for every idle word you speak. The words you say will either acquit you or condemn you. Hoo-wee. This verse helped me a lot. That, you know, back when you feel like cussing people out, they get on your nerves, you know, and someone get on my nerves, instead of telling them to go to hell, I say, you know what? You go to heaven. I don't want to allow the curse going forth because of a bad heart to turn around and come back to me. But when we bless with a genuine heart, blessings will turn around and come back to you. Don't miss this, because we're reasoning together. I want you to get this. Life and death is in the power of the tongue, right? So is cursing and blessing. So if you're choosing to use curse words or to curse people or to blast them and just let the devil come out of you, that means you open up a portal for the devil to come back in you and use you again. But the flip side to that is, when you open up the portal and release blessing, God dispatches his angels and say, shower my child with blessing. There's a little shepherd boy that was filthy rich and very popular and blessed in all that he was doing, named David. You might have heard of him in the Bible. You know what David says in Psalm 34 and 1? He says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praises shall continually be in my mouth. If he's blessing the Lord at all times, he ain't got time to curse people out. The heart of the matter is deciding, I'm going to put God first. In the way I treat people, I put God first. In the way I conduct my business dealings, I put God first. In the way I talk to a total stranger, I put God first. When you do that, you can expect the curse to be broken and the blessing to be coming your way. Somebody said, how do I break the curse? Stop cursing! Key point number 4, write this down. This is straight from Jesus. Not a little bird. On the day of judgment, we have to give an account for every idle word. You heard? I want to make sure you heard. Again. And he told me to write it like this. He said, this is straight from him. This is straight from Jesus. Not the little bird. On the day of judgment, we have to give an account for every idle word. You heard. Don't take it lightly. Because sometimes we hear things and we say, oh, it's no big deal. That's just Pastor Trevor talking. No, it's not. This is straight from Jesus. Not from me. Our little bird. Some people like to see, oh, a little birdie told me this. This ain't no little birdie. This is straight from Jesus. And when you're around people that want to deposit a curse in your life with their language, their attitude, their bitterness towards another human being, do not fuel that negative fire, because that's going to take away from your blessing. No. quench that with a quickness and say, you know what? If you want to pray for this person, let's pray. But if you want to sit there and blast and tell me how bad they are and this, and the other thing, I ain't going to be in the gossip with you. We got to set some higher standards, my friends. It's time to go to another level. But if you don't start making some choices for the better, you're not going to enjoy the blessings that God has in store for you. We all want to live the good life without the sacrifice. Here's a sacrifice that we have to make to enjoy the blessings from God. So what's the heart of the matter? The heart of the matter is love God above all else. And not just tolerate God, not just put up with God, not just say, oh yeah, he's in my heart. No, but truly love God. Not everyone is there, but it's my desire that you get there to reach to a point where we don't sin because we fear God, but we choose not to sin because we love God and we don't want to disappoint him. That's what we should strive to be doing. So when sin presents itself, and it will, every day sin will present itself. We kick sin to the curb and say, the blood of Jesus. Because sin cancels our blessing. Amen. I don't get too many amens because people are mad at me. But I still love you. Yes. Sin cancels our blessing. Yes. But abstaining from sin releases the blessing. Amen. Now, if I were you, I'd be like, what type of sin do I have? The blood of Jesus. Help him with his choking, Lord. He'll be fine in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Jesus. So I want to keep us focused on the good things that God have in store for us and putting ourselves in line to receive it. Make sure that when the sin comes, and the sin will come, we think, okay, if I indulge in this, what am I going to be forfeiting? Yes. What am I going to be giving up just for this fun, whatever you want to call it? You see, if you can get your mind there, you will be saved from a whole bunch of foolishness. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says that whenever the devil tempts you, God will give you a way of escape. So we just have to say, Lord, show me the escape. And he will show you. Some people don't pray that because they don't want to escape. They love their good-looking sin. Not everything that is good looking is good for you. It may leave a sting. And that sting is worse than a scorpion sting. Listen, bridling the tongue is important though. It's really important, you know. And the best way to do that is to put Jesus as number one in your heart. And make sure he's okay with every word you say. So pray before you say. You know, a lot of times I'm in a position, I'm about to say something, and I can hurt someone's feelings. And I said, Lord, will this be the best thing to glorify you? And sometimes like, no, Trevor, change that word. Don't say that, say that. And I said, okay, so I'm not going to say that. And I say something different. And then I see that the person was actually helped and not hurt and push down. Because we should use our words to lift people up, not tear them down. Words are powerful. I have experienced some things from people saying things to me, and I'm thinking, man, why didn't you just slap me in the face? It would hurt less. You know what I'm talking about? You know, one guy called me up one day with tears in his eyes, like, I can't believe it. So what happened? My ex-girlfriend said to me, Why don't you do everybody a favor and commit suicide? Kill yourself already. That's hateful. And that makes someone think, man, I'm so much of a scum of the earth that you wish me dead? It's sad. Deacon Kelvin showed me a video in New York that happened recently. A lady walked up to another lady. I don't know what she did to her. And she just walked calm, take out her gun, shoot her in the back of the head, and walk into the car and leave. Police is looking for her. She just killed her. Didn't even think twice. See, when things start in the heart, if it's not checked, it grows and grows and grows into a monster. So you gotta check what's in your heart. And make sure that God is at the center of your heart. So you won't be falling apart and you won't be doing stupid things. Because that's how it starts. Start small and grow into something big. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 4 real quick. Almost done, don't worry. Proverbs 4. Hallelujah, Jesus. I don't want to keep you from your fried chicken. But the Bible is a better tasting dish. Proverbs 4:23. The second wisest man, second to Jesus, Solomon, wrote this. He says, guard your heart. Proverbs 4:23. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Guard your heart. And I know, you know, when it comes to like relationships and friendship and all that, we're going to have some friends that are going to break our hearts. Because I have some friends that break my heart. Not even, I'm not talking about girlfriends. I'm talking about like friends that I trusted and I believed in. And they just broke my heart. I realized that they couldn't be trusted. And I'm thinking, now it goes from loving that person and trusting that person to now I got my guards up. Well, putting your guards up is not necessarily bad. That's why Solomon says, guard your heart above all else. Some people, they wear their heart in their sleeves. Just trust everybody. Don't trust everybody now. Trust God. But some people, they are the devil. Even though they look like angels, don't trust them. A lot of them, they got their Satan ID badge in their back pocket. They're agents of Satan. In their front pocket. It's sad because some of them are even in the pulpit. In churches. Thank God, not Jesus' team. No, not in Jesus' team. Because if they were, we actually had pastor coming before with the wrong spirit. And the Spirit of God said, Trevor, I said, what's up, Dad? He said, that one got to go. And I'm a follower of Christ. He tell me someone got to go. I'm like, hey, hate to break it to you, but you got to go. What are you going to do, fight me? I used to teach martial arts. That wouldn't be good. I'm not worried about that. But if they got the right spirit, they can be with us. You know? I'd rather have the right people in my circle so that we can do battle spiritually and be victorious. When you got someone around you that is not living right, and they're just willfully doing wrong and try to be teaching, it's going to be poisoning the congregation. That's what happened with Achan when Joshua tore down Jericho, you know, by the Spirit of God. God told Joshua, this is the commands, this is what we shouldn't do, and this is what you should do. And Achan didn't want to listen. His greed kicked in. And he took some gold and some silver and he hid it. Took some silver and he hid it under his tent. And what happened to children of Israel? They lost the battle against Ai because of his sin. One person, and the whole Israelite camp suffered. So when you got a pastor up there lying to the congregation just to get money, what's going to happen to the congregation? They're going to suffer. They're wondering why the pastor is telling them to take out a second mortgage on their house to pay off the church. God didn't tell them to do that. God didn't tell them to join a line and bring your $50 here, your $100 there, your $20 there. God didn't tell you to do that. That's man. You have to know, based on scripture, who you are in Christ Jesus and follow him, not follow man. Now, I can say, as the Apostle Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. I have no problem with you following me because I know I'm following Christ. I fight the devil every day. I don't hang out with him and do what he does. I fight him. And the second you take your boxing gloves off and decide you're not going to fight the devil, you got knocked out. Thank God that we're still standing. Amen. Glory be to God. There's been a lot of attacks, but we're still standing. Amen. Now the devil, he landed a few blows, but we're still standing. He didn't knock us out. Because we landed some good blows ourselves, didn't we? Hallelujah, Jesus. Some uppercuts. Even some kicks. And I'm talking about the ladies. Ask Sister Butlin. Ain't playing with the devil. They got some warriors in here. Alright, let's wrap this up. The last place we're going to go to is Revelation chapter 3. Revelation 3. The heart of the matter. Let's look at our reward. Anybody want to see some rewards? Because I don't want to tell you to do all these things and make all these sacrifices and cut certain people loose and the people that's trying to get you to hang out with them and do stupid things with them to cut them loose. And what's the reward? What do I get, Pastor Trevor? Well, I'm glad you asked. I want you to see what Jesus wrote to us. The church of Philadelphia. The ones who are walking on the up and up. Let's see what we get. Revelation 3, starting verse 7. Write this letter to the angel of the church in Philadelphia. This is the message from the one who is holy and true, the one who has the key of David. What he opens, no one can close. What he closes, no one can open. And he says, I know all the things you do, and I have opened a door for you that no one can close. You have little strength, yet you obeyed my word and did not deny me. Look, I will force those who belong to Satan's synagogue, those liars who say they are Jews but are not, to come and bow down at your feet. They will acknowledge that you are the ones I love. Because you have obeyed my command to persevere, I will protect you from the great time of testing that will come upon the whole world to test those who belong to this world. Let me hear somebody say, I'm going up in the rapture. That's what he's talking about here. When the rapture happens, boom, we're out of here, and then the 7-year tribulation starts. But he says he's going to protect us from that great time of testing. That's a good place for a hallelujah, Jesus. I'm not looking forward to the Antichrist telling me to take no mark. I'd rather be ready, and when the Spirit of God say, come up hither, I'm out of here. We got to all decide to be that way for ourselves. I can't make you rapture ready for you. You have to be rapture ready for you. Like I got to be rapture ready for me. And if you want to be left behind, it's going to be your behind. Verse 11. Jesus says, I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take away your crown. And who's going to try and steal your crown? The devil. All who are victorious will become pillars in the temple of my God, and they will never have to leave it. And I will write on them the name of my God, and they will be citizens in the town of my God. The new Jerusalem that comes down from heaven from my God. And I will also write on them my new name. Anyone with two big old ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. My friends, the new Jerusalem is going to be coming down out of heaven for us who have the right heart. The heart of the matter is God is first. God is number one. Put him first. Above your relationships, above your finances, above your friendship, your social arena, your money, your work, your attitude, your everything and everyone, you need to put God first. If you do, my friend, you will be first and not the last. Because if you're putting him first and you and him are one, since he's first, we automatically become first. Make sense? If it makes sense, it will make dollars, believe me. Glory be to God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. That's alive and well and sharper than any two-edged sword. We thank you for the heart of the matter, for giving us the tools we need to be cleansed in the heart, to give you the permissive will to do constructive, reconstructive heart surgery. There's so many right now that have a whole bunch of junk in the heart. And you are in the business of healing, restoring. You're in the business of cutting away the junk and making us pure. I don't know what's in each person's heart per se, but you do. And so today, Lord, we call on you to grab a hold of every heart, whether they're here in the sanctuary or watching us online. And Lord, we ask that you would heal, you would cleanse, you would restore in the mighty name of Jesus. There is no distance too far for you to reach a lost soul and bring them into the sheepfold. So the first thing that needs to happen before the heart can be fully cleansed with you taking up residency in someone's heart is they have to repent of their sins and they have to invite you in the heart. Because you're a gentleman, you will never force yourself in anyone's heart. You have to be invited in. So if you're here today or you're watching online, listening on the radio, wherever you're joining us from, and you want to invite Jesus to come in to do his reconstructive heart surgery and put you on a whole nother level with him, today is your day. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. I'm going to ask you to repeat this prayer from the heart. And I guarantee you that if you're sincere, God will draw near. Repeat after me. Say, Lord God, I confess that I'm a sinner. But today, Lord, I repent of all my sins. Hallelujah, Jesus. And I come to you. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. And stay with me. From this day forward, I am yours. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for me and for being raised on the third day. I will live for you as long as I'm alive. And when I leave this earth, I'm believing by faith that I will spend eternity with you. Thank you, Lord, for my new heart, for my salvation, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.